You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. Our next story comes to us from our partners at San Quentin Radio.
San Quentin Radio, bringing you informative educational stories from the inside out.
In order to make something grow, you got to own a little dirt.
You don't tell, you see what goes on.
Because I like to be free. I like to move about the land.
You could hear a pin drop, and all of a sudden you heard this.
Last month, San Quentin was on lockdown for 3 weeks. It meant that volunteers couldn't come into the prison, including our KALW editorial team that works with San Quentin radio reporters. It also meant inmates' activities were severely limited. A lockdown happens when correctional officers decide there's a threat to the safety and security of a prison. That might be a fight, an assault, or a race riot. It's exactly what it sounds like. In a lockdown, inmates have to stay inside their cells until the problem is contained. They can't go anywhere unless strip searched, handcuffed, and escorted by a guard. A couple of years ago, reporter Adnan Khan brought us a story about what it's like to be inside when the prison is on lockdown. And a note to our listeners, because San Quentin radio reporters are only allowed to record in one part of the prison, they've created some of the prison sounds from inside their media lab.
A prison yard has a very unpredictable environment. Violence and lockdowns can happen at any time.
Well, my name is John Johnson. I also go by Yahya. I've been down 20 years. I've been in more lockdowns than I can remember. The longest lockdown I've been in is 10 months in Corcoran State Prison.
My name's Trevor Bird. I've been locked up 16 years, endured many lockdowns, and the longest was 8 months up at High Desert.
Here's how it starts. The first few hours of the day are spent gathering information.
There's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of uncertainty and nervousness.
You're not sure what's going on. Yahya remembers how he heard something bad had happened.
Eventually, my cellie came in, and he had this look of bewilderment on his face. I said, man, what happened out there? He said, man, it was bad. It was a race riot. And I looked at his face, man, and I seen the terror in his eyes, and I was like, wow.
That race riot was the start of a 10-month lockdown. At the beginning, you don't know how long it's going to last. During lockdowns, there's absolutely no movement unless you're handcuffed and escorted by officers. Inmates find ways to communicate with each other by doing things like yelling on the tiers, talking through the ventilation system, or even taking advantage of the escort.
Sometimes your only chance to communicate with somebody else is, you know, maybe on a quick little 15-second walk to the shower.
Adapting is key for any form of survival, as is preparation. Just like Bay Area residents who prepare earthquake kits, many inmates prepare by having a lockdown box, or what Bird likes to call it, a war chest.
The war chest are the basic necessities. We're not filling it with, you know, candy bars and, you know, smell good body wash. No, these are the things that you're going to need to fight off hunger and to fight off your own funk in the cell.
My particular lockdown box would consist of food and hygiene. It was mandatory to have 5 deodorants, 5 lotions, 5 toothpastes, things like that, coffee. It's a must to have 240 soups in your cell at any given time.
An earthquake kit is stocked, stored, and put away for unexpected emergencies. Lockdown box is no different.
A lockdown box is never really generally touched. You know, it's something that you know that you're gonna have to rely on at some point in a long lockdown, so it's a box that's taken, placed under the bed, and it's out of sight.
Eventually, the lockdown box diminishes and they run out of supplies. The 3 meals a day the state provides is not nearly enough for an adult, and the hunger becomes unbearable.
You know, hollowness in your gut. I mean, that your belly just grinding on your backbone, and the hunger pains, you know, look to that sack lunch. And a graham cracker, you know, just might be enough to let you fall asleep that night.
The same meal is repeated over and over, so the men have to use their imaginations.
Sometimes that loaf of bread could turn into, you know, mama's lasagna, mom's fried chicken.
You know, so when we ate these peanut butter sandwiches, it was always considered a steak, you know, with A1 steak sauce being the jelly. You know, our imaginations run wild again because you're confined to this cell and you're coping.
I mean, your mind wanders and your mind, you know, tries to fill in the gaps of what could be and what should be, but what really isn't.
You know, and you find yourself being creative and imaginative to make the food more palatable when you eat it.
Mix up that Kool-Aid and sip it slowly like it's, you know, your favorite soft drink or something, or a smoothie.
Within a few weeks, men establish routines for themselves and with their cellies.
So a lot of the time is, you know, spent dividing up the time on the floor. So you're either on your rack or you're on the floor. And there's not enough room for both of you to be on the floor at the same time. So we divide it evenly and tippy-toe around each other like that.
Still, being barricaded with another man for 24 hours a day for several months and basically a room the size of a bathroom can be extremely challenging.
Being on a lockdown with an individual that you're not compatible with is hell. You know, it works your nerves. You have to have good coping mechanisms in order not to go crazy in one of these small prison cells.
During lockdowns, men can only shower every 2 days, so they find methods of cleaning themselves inside their cells daily, which is known as a bird bath.
Splash down, suds up, you know, with your little sink and your little trickle of water that comes out. Usually we got some ladle of some type, usually it's your mug. You're using your sink and your toilet to corral all the water, and a few floor towels to, you know, sop up the excess.
Since visits and phone calls are restricted, the only form of communicating with family members is through letters.
You know, I write my family. I have a son, I have a granddaughter, my mother. They're active, you know, participants in, you know, doing this prison time with me.
And my letter going out can reach my family within a couple days. It takes about 15 to 20 days sometimes for one of their letters to reach me.
But Bird and his dad found creative ways to make their letters during the lockdown a bit more interesting.
We'd start up a game of chess, and it was not out of the norm to, you know, just send off a letter with nothing but a simple chess move in it. P.S. Pop, Queen's Bishop to E5. Check. Talk about a slow game of chess. There's no time on the clock there because I'm waiting 15 to 20 days for his responding move.
So how were those chess games?
A slow, well thought out game of chess was great. And I mean, my dad and I, you know, certainly enjoyed those.
But lockdowns are very psychologically challenging.
Just being stuck in that cell without movement day after day after day, I struggled to, you know, stay sociable.
Having been locked down, confined to a cell with minimal movement, the maintenance of my sanity, not being able to go to the canteen, not being able to get a package, not being able to visit your people.
And I'd spend, you know, 3-4 days in my own head, but that would be 3-4 days that I didn't write a letter. Didn't even say a word to my cellie. 3-4 days just spent in a depression.
Yahya and Bird did utilize their lockdown time productively. Yahya learned to speak Arabic, and Bird earned his AA degree taking correspondence courses through the mail. But neither of them would ever want to do another lockdown again.
No way. They're just too much wear and tear on the soul.
Absolutely not. Because I like to be free. I like to move about the land and learn things without being confined in a box.
For the San Quentin Prison Report, I'm a non-con.